sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins, and we're talking Oklahoma real estate. Becky, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing so much better today.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, we've got some discussion today that's going to be pertinent to anybody who is thinking about buying or thinking about selling or in the midst of it, because we are talking
TRR, treatments, repairs, and replacements.
Once a contract is written, once an offer is written and signed into a contract, right?
Right.
I know. He's laughing about that. I correct everybody that says something about, I sent you a contract. Well, no, you didn't. You sent me an offer.
Yes.
It doesn't become a contract until all parties sign, right?
Yes. You do have your little pet peeves that you make sure that we are on point, that your team has it down, and this is one of them. You can't write a contract. You write an offer.
Yeah, and how about what's another pet peeve I have?
Realtor.
Realtor. It is not realtor.
So for all of you out there who are like me, grew up saying realtor, and I have no idea why that said that. I mean, that's just the way I said it growing up here in Oklahoma City.
Every time he does that, I say doctor.
Say doctor.
It is doctor, realtor, or realtor. Yes. Now, realtor.
Realtor
is the Oklahoma way of saying realtor.
That's what I got to tell you. Every time I say it now, I say it three times in my head the correct way afterwards, trying to retrain myself, because this is from my childhood. I mean, because I don't hear it.
Yeah.
So,
I hear it, don't I? And another pet peeve I have is represent.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And now that's gets into some legal part, and we'll probably get into that today with this.
We don't represent in Oklahoma,
right?
That is unlawful. You cannot say that you represent, because you do not.
Right, right. We do not speak for the client. We don't. We provide services.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah,
and that's so. Law of agency is what that's called, and we no longer are considered an agent.
When did that change? Because it used to be that way.
Well, it's changed four times since I've been selling real estate in a major way.
Okay.
To start with, when I first started selling real estate, late 70s, we all worked for the seller. Everybody worked for the seller. The listing agent, or listing broker, mm-hmm. basically, because every agent works under a broker's license. And I use the word agent loosely here. That's just what we use in our society. It's really licensee.
Right.
Every licensee works under a brokerage mm-hmm. license, okay? And then in the late 70s, it was that the listing broker was working for the seller. The buyer's broker was working as a sub-agent of the seller, even though they had that buyer in their car running around town and bonded with the buyer, had the buyer's best interest in mind, typically.
Right.
Lawfully, we were supposed to have the seller's best interest in mind because we were sub-agents of the seller.
Boy, that would seem to cause a lot of conflict of interest when you're legally working for one side but providing services to the other side. And I'm sure that's set up for a lot of accusations of, you're not working on my behalf.
We still get that.
We still get that. Yeah, we do. That's
That's another whole show.
Yeah.
Right? But I do correct my team when they say, well, I'm representing the buyer, or yeah. We're representing the seller, because we don't represent. We provide services for one party or two parties in the transaction. And how does it change when we provide services for one party or for two parties?
It doesn't.
Exactly.
It's the same.
Exactly. You know, we owe the same duties if we provide services for and a party being a buyer or a seller.
Right.
There are only two parties to the contract. There could be four buyers and there could be 15 sellers, but they are a party jointly.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. And I talk, like when I'm working with a buyer, one of the things I just make sure they know is if the house they're purchasing is being listed by one of our team members or being listed by another brokerage, it doesn't matter.
Same
to
thing.
Me. It's the rules of confidentiality doesn't change. The rules of the way that I'm going to present information doesn't change. I'm going to provide with you the same services, same confidentiality.
Well, and the things that we owe a person, a party that we're providing services for, are basically confidentiality is like number five,
mm-hmm.
but we owe them honesty. I mean, it's written in the contract that we must be honest.
Yeah.
Listen up, everybody. And we owe them reasonable skill and care. And that's where I think realtors have room for improvement. Sometimes, because you don't just make up a price.
Right.
You must use reasonable skill and care
yeah.
in every aspect of the real estate transaction, whether it's listing it, whether it's showing buyers homes, you have to listen to them. So there's a lot to selling real estate
yeah.
Or providing real estate services, which we are more of a service provider than a salesperson, that's for sure. But today we're talking TRR, and what that stands for is Notice of Treatments, Repairs, and Replacements after inspections, investigations, and reviews are done.
Yeah.
Everyone calls it inspections. But what is it really? Investigations, inspections, yeah. and reviews.
Yeah.
Because there are other things other than the home inspection that you do.
Right. I mean, there's a whole list that we go through. One of the things, like during that inspection time period that we call inspection, but the reviews, is to review things like insurance. I mean, that's a big
whether
one.
The property is insurable.
Right.
Do you know something? We tell buyers to go check on insurance before they actually go to a lender.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Most of the time they've already gone to a lender
yeah.
before they go out looking for property. But insurance is important, especially in Oklahoma.
Right.
Right? And there's a lot of things we can investigate, inspect, or review. And mm-hmm. we're going to go over the list, and then there's a blank spot in there that you can fill in other things. And we had a really good discussion on our Oklahoma City Real Estate Professionals Facebook group, which has like 4,000 members. But I want to tell you, I get encouraged when I get on that group, because there are so many realtors who do know what they're doing.
Yeah.
That and the ones that don't know what they're doing that are on that group tend to want to know what they're doing. And
yeah.
they listen. And some of us that have been around a little bit longer kind of pitch in and answer a question or two. And I don't have much time to do that group because it's sitting there reading like 83 comments for one question. But it's a great group. And we had a discussion about several things, and TRR was one of them this week. So we're going to discuss more when we return.
Right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Uh-huh. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, and we're talking treatments, repair, and replacements, which is, this is kind of an area that a lot of times buyers and sellers get tripped up on because they're not sure what's going to happen during this phase.
Well, let's talk about the process to start with, okay? The process is, once you are under contract, you have what's called a time reference date, paragraph 5 in your contract, right? And it states all the dates in the contract, the number of days, start with this date. It defines the start date, okay?
Right. It's one you can write in what start date it is, or you can leave it blank.
And go with a default,
which
is basically 4 days.
Yeah.
And I do, by the way, encourage you guys, call us and ask us questions about this, because there's a lot of misunderstanding, and I think we could probably answer your questions. Our number here is 405-840-1000, 840-1000. So call us and ask us a question. The paragraph 7 in the contract kind of defines what are the investigations, inspections, and reviews, and the timelines to do those. So it gives us a number of days after the time reference date. From the time reference date, how many days do you have to do your investigations, inspections, and reviews? And that is, by default, it's 10 days. Right. You can write in 4 days. You can write in 14 days, whatever can be negotiated. That's something that can be negotiated.
Well, and that's one of the areas that when people think of negotiation of real estate, they mainly think price. And there's all sorts of things in the contract that are negotiable to and that are beneficial to the buyer, that are beneficial to the seller. Like for this, if you had a location that had several outbuildings, inspections may take longer. Or if you need a lot of specialized inspections and you know that you believe you're going to, you may need more days.
Yeah, and to make your contract stronger, you may choose to have shorter days,
right,
so that the seller knows exactly when that inspection deadline is over, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, well, we're going to give you a list of things that can be inspected by contract when you start doing your investigations, inspections, and reviews. We are going to give you that list. But before we do that, let's talk to David. Good morning, David. Okay, I'm not hearing you, David. Are you there? Okay. Well, we'll get right back with you, so let's do our list first, okay? What's the very first thing that someone should review prior, during this inspection time?
Yeah, the disclosure statement over what has been disclosed. So every time a house is being sold in Oklahoma, the seller is required to write a disclosure statement to say, here's what we know about these items in the house. And it's usually things like, are plumbing working? Is there any kind of leak? Has there been any work on the foundation? Those,
well, there's
disclosure,
a lot of things.
There's all sorts of list.
It's a 3-page disclosure, so there's quite a lot, and it's a state-issued disclosure by the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission. So you should always look at the disclosure or the disclaimer. A disclaimer, you can be exempt from doing a disclosure. Like, I'm listing a house today that has, the person that has the power of attorney has not lived there as an adult, did live there as a child, but childhood was some time ago, more than 20 years ago, and has not been involved in the repairs and the upkeep of the home since, so doesn't really know a whole lot. So that person can fill out an exemption, or what we call a disclaimer, is eligible to do that. One of the other things that is needs to be reviewed or investigated would be the flood map, right?
Right. And, I mean, because this is just part of doing the due diligence so that you can discover what is it that you're – do you need flood insurance for – is it required to have flood insurance?
Well, and sometimes it's not required to have flood insurance, but there's a problem. And when the water rises, it gets into the garage or something mm-hmm. like that.
Right.
So the water history is important that you investigate that. And how about sewer backup?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I mean, sometimes there's a city issue that to where a certain, like in a neighborhood that I, now they fixed this since, but in Rollingwood, there's about half of Meridian Place used to have a sewer backup problem from the city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, gross. I mean, it's gross enough to have your own sewer backup, but everybody else's in your house, not so good.
So one of the things that I wonder, Becky, is like, how do we end up trying to find out this information? Like, for has been a backup in a neighborhood.
You go to the city. They have that.
That they just they have it, so you just call the city and ask?
You call whichever municipality that yeah. property is resides in.
Yeah.
And ask for that information. Storm runoff, you can go to FEMA and look at their flood maps. Actually, you can go to MLS and look at flood maps nowadays. So, okay, well, Mr. Gannon says that David is back, even though I'm not showing him on my computer. But if you think I can get him, good morning, David.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you, David.
Okay, sound like a commercial. Hey, 2020 has been a horrible year for me. I lost my wife in June.
Oh.
And, it wasn't COVID. It was blood clots in the lungs. And so I've been assessing, you know, the new year. When does a person, is there kind of a rule of thumb? I have a fairly new home. It's about 2 years old. It's paid off way north Edmond. When does a person, I got no children, so I'm trying to give you a few things before I ask this question. When does a person realize, if I'm having a lot of family members tell me different things. They tell me to stay in my home because it's paid for, but then I'm thinking, well, you know, when does a person come to a conclusion or realization that maybe sell the home, profit the majority of the money, and buy a cheaper home, which is smaller yard, less property taxes, smaller roof, you know, have a good inspector go through it, versus staying in your home until you either can't or until you're, you know, 67 to 70. So I guess I'm trying to roll around. Should I, or how should I do this? Stay in my home until either I can't or until I want to retire or move away somewhere? Or can I sell it now and maybe buy, a lot of my relatives say don't do this, buy in the village something cheaper, and have fun or pocket the rest and put that in a savings towards retirement? Is there ever a person who can kind of help you weigh things out, or you just get a sheet of paper and draw a line down the middle and put pros and cons, you know, the old pros and cons thing? So you mean stay on the line or you mean hang up the line?
Oh, stay on the line, David. I can help you with that.
Okay.
Because I know the right questions to ask you. Each person's going to have a little bit of a different need. And just from first take, I'm going to tell you, you're ready to move. Price range of your house is probably $300,000 to $400,000 to $500,000.
Around two. I'm in the smaller, I'm in Valencia.
I'm in a
three bedroom, two car garage.
Okay.
That's a great neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is kind of a manageable house, right?
It is. But, why not sell it?
And go to the village or somewhere like that. I can tell you why not.
Okay.
It's because they're older houses, less insulated, lots of repairs, and it'll end up costing you about the same.
Okay. I wondered that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the Village has charm, and mm-hmm. it's a very popular place right now. But if you've got a manageable house that's newer, the newer the house, the less repairs you're going to have to do to it.
Right.
And
I'm 57.
Yeah.
10 years from now, I'll be 67, and then if the air conditioner goes out, or I'm trying to think of something major.
Well, it's going to be, it won't wait 10 years if you're in an older house. You're going to have those repairs almost immediately.
Right.
So.
I could afford a new air conditioning unit. It's not a problem. I'm trying to be a realist here.
Yeah.
Or do I wait until I've got to go straight to the nursing home? Because, see, I've got no children.
First of all, we don't have nursing homes so much anymore. But, David, I will tell you, I'm happy to continue this conversation with you after our news break. Or give Mr. Gannon your number, and I will just call you and talk to you one-on-one. Great question. We've got a lot more to talk about, and we're going to return right after this.
With Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.
News Radio 1000 KTOK.
Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, and we're talking with David.
Good morning, David. Thank you for hanging on. I'm going to sum up your question.
Okay, let me say this. I'm trying to be smart now. I'm not being emotional. I'm trying to be smart now because at 67, 70, I don't have the years like I would at 25. So, you know, I don't want to look back, which you can always say this and go, darn, I wish I'd have done this, or I wish I'd have done that. So 2021 is going to be a year of evaluate, assess, and follow through.
Okay. And your issue is that you lost your wife in the summer, and you've got a house that's paid for. It's in Valencia, which is basically Penn to May and north of, I'm trying to think, 178?
No, 192nd.
92nd. Okay. Okay. So it's in a neighborhood that has reasonable yard sizes.
Yeah. Street divides Edmond and Deer Creek.
Okay. So you're in the Deer Creek side?
No, Edmond.
You're in the Edmond side. Okay. Either one of those sells real well, by the way, Edmond Schools or Deer Creek Schools. And you think you're ready to go to a smaller place. And what I would investigate for you is, it sounds like you're ready to move emotionally and mentally. So I would investigate moving. And moving to, have you ever thought of something like a villa or a townhouse? Or
I have, yes.
Or a condo or something like that. Does that, you're not turned off by that, right?
Yeah, well, the condo is, I don't mind a condo, but how do you know the wall separating you isn't renter party kids or a person who can't hear and the TV is so loud it vibrates the fish tank?
Well, you don't. That's part of your investigations. And by the way, you could have a very quiet neighbor and somebody else move in.
Right.
So the sound insulation between the units is going to be important. And many condos, now apartment conversions into condos, not so much. And we do have a lot of those in the metro. But when they were built as condos, typically they're built with firewalls. So that means between the units, there is going to be a solid fire-rated wall. And that does have a lot of sound insulation qualities. So you might think on that a little bit. And I think that I would love to sit down and talk with you more at length, because I think I could ask you the questions that would bring you to the right conclusion for you.
Okay.
So give Mike Gannon your information, and we'll schedule a time to sit and talk a little bit, okay?
I'll buy you lunch somewhere.
I could buy you lunch. Casa Perico, Mexican Grill. How's
there
that?
There we go.
Okay. So, Mr. Gannon, hang on just a minute, and he's going to get your information, okay?
Come on, baby, tell me what's the word. I wait up. It's time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give Robbins Roofing a call at 728-3700, 728-3700.
I kind of have to interject there about Robbins Roofing, because with all the ice storm that we had a few weeks ago, you need to call them to have them check your roof, because there was a lot of damage, and by the time we get the rain that is going to cause the drip inside, you're going to have a lot of damage in your attic if there is roof damage, and they'll walk that roof for you. They will check it out, and a great roofing company. I mean, I really do trust Robbins Roofing. 728-3700. Give them a call. 728-3700. Okay, our word of the day today is?
Investigate.
Investigate. Okay, well, I was on a different word. So what is investigate, Mark?
So investigate is to formally or systematically examine or research. So it is one of the things with this is to systematically research. You have to look through the different parts of the purchase and the different things you're purchasing.
Well, and when we're talking about investigations, inspections, and reviews, we're talking about paragraph 7 of our contract, which says what can be inspected and what timelines are mandatory, because each contract has a certain mandatory timeline, and that's negotiated. And it also says how to handle the results of that in those inspections and reviews, right?
Right.
So the things that can be inspected are basically the disclosure statement. You need to review that. To review, by the way, is to look at something that already exists. Okay? So, like the disclosure statement or disclaimer statement, review that. The flood, storm runoff, water, sewer backup history, any water history on the property, that's going to be a little bit of an investigation, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah, you have to look through and what has happened at this property through the years.
Okay. The third thing that you can investigate is psychologically impacted property, or Megan's Law. Now, what does that mean? Psychologically impacted property. That can mean a variety of things. Back in the early to mid 80s, there was a thing to where if someone was selling a house and they had a communicable disease that was highly contagious, such as AIDS, it was real hard for them to sell their house. Because people were afraid they could get it from being in the shower, the toilet, the whatever. I mean, you know, that was a big deal. Now, Oklahoma was one of the first ones to pass this law, because so we were on the kind of the cutting edge at the time. But psychologically impacted properties can be if someone thinks a house is haunted. Has anyone ever died in the house? Because there are buyers who do not want to purchase a home if they know someone has died in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And this is something we get asked every now and then. You have someone who this is a very sensitive topic for them, and they don't want to purchase a home where they have knowledge of something bad has happened in the home.
Like someone passing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, to investigate that, how do you investigate something like that?
Well, so there's kind of two ways for a buyer to do that. One is their own investigation, which, you know, nowadays you have, if there's a news story, they can Google that. They can look up on their own, is there something else? The other thing they can do is to put into writing and ask the seller in writing and to answer the question that concerns them.
If you're interested in whether or not someone has died in the property, whether it's been it has a psychological impact,
yeah,
you must ask in writing, and it must be with a bona fide offer on the property. Now, here's the thing. The seller does not have to answer you. You don't have to buy the property. But the way our Oklahoma law is written is that the seller has a right to privacy on those issues. And if you don't want to buy the house, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if the seller wants to answer you, they're going to answer in writing, and then you make up your mind on that. Another thing that is, and you can't just ask it just because you're curious. It has to be with a bona fide offer.
Yeah.
And that's out of respect for the seller.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I talked to one of our sellers yesterday that we closed on that property about a year ago, and I was just following up because I was thinking about her. And I called and asked, how are you doing? And she was talking about having lost her mom and having lost her dad, and they died in the house that was sold. And was very tearful about it. And the thing is, the buyers that bought that house, that made them want the house even more because there was so much love.
There was love
during
there.
The passing.
Yeah.
That they just felt like that was just a great home to purchase because it was a great family and stuff like that. So,
well, this comes into, it's in the eye of the buyer. Psychologically impact is it. What impacts me may not impact you.
Right. And how about Megan's Law?
So, yeah. So Megan's Law is the register offender around the neighborhood.
Sex offender.
Yes. And so
you can look that up.
To investigate. And, it's, you know, that's one of those things that we encourage that you have to investigate that on your own, that that is something that
right.
is not going to be provided to you.
We're not responsible for that. But you, it's printed in bold print here what you can investigate.
Yeah.
And inspect. And Megan's Law is one of those. Hazard insurance, whether the property's insurable and whether it's insurable, the roof, like for an actual cash value policy or a replacement policy, 100% replacement. And the thing is, that if you can't get insurance on the house at a rate that you're willing to pay, you can't use that right at the end of a contract not to close.
Right.
You have got to investigate this during your inspection time.
Right, because if you do that during the inspection time, then more likely you're going to receive your earnest money back because it's under contractually you have that right.
Right. And then environmental risk. Those are including like soil, air, water, hydrocarbon, chemical, carbon, asbestos, mold, radon, and lead-based paint. So you can investigate all that. Most of that's on our disclosure statement.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have access to some information about that, at least to the extent that the seller is aware of those issues. And then the roof, of course, structural members, roof decking. Coverings of the roof and related components of the roof, and then the whole home inspection itself. Most of the time, you don't get piecemealed inspections anymore. You hire a professional licensed home inspector to do a complete home inspection, which includes the structural inspection. But if you want a special structural inspection, sometimes a home inspector will say, hey, you need to get a structural engineer out here, I see some things that look like they're danger signs.
Right.
So there's a few others. We're going to cover them when we return.
Right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.
Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, and we need to finish a couple things. We do have a caller if we have time for that. And that is the things that we can inspect on a property.
Mm-hmm.
And we covered most of those before the break. But the other thing is, you know, fixtures, equipment, and systems in the house. All the electrical, cooling, air conditioning, plumbing, swimming pool, sprinkler system, security system, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's all written in the contract. And then termites and other wood-destroying insects. There are other wood-destroying insects.
Right. Yes.
And we work with great inspectors who inspect all of this and then give recommendations for if more specific inspections need to be done.
Right. And then use of the property is another thing that you need to investigate.
Yes.
Is it zoned? We had one recently that was zoned commercial. Well, guess what? You cannot get an FHA or a VA loan on a commercially zoned property.
And if you don't discover that within your 10 days of investigations,
right,
you could lose your earnest money with it.
Yes. And the square footage of the property, if you take a tape measure, get it measured. You can also, for about $100, have an appraiser measure it for you so that you're sure of the square footage. Then there is another thing. There's a blank line where you can add anything else you want. And when you add one of the things we discussed on our Facebook group for the Oklahoma real estate professionals is schools, school systems. If you care that it sits in the school system that the tax record says and that the MLS says, you need to investigate that.
Yep.
And by calling the school system and ask, what's the elementary school? What's the high school?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. There's other things that can be written in there, like outbuildings.
Right.
Like a barn with maybe a defrosting water trough or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to that. The thing I really wanted to talk to you about, though, is what happens after you get these investigations, inspections, and reviews? You've got two choices. You can opt out of the contract within the inspection period defined in that each contract, or you issue a list of things that you want the seller to either replace or repair, or maybe it needs termite treatment. You put all these on a list and present it to the seller. Now, if the seller says they're not going to fix it, anything, you no longer can opt out of the contract. You can ask that it be released.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't come to an agreement within, the default is 7 days in our contract, but you could write in there too. It doesn't matter. But you have to go by the defined contract on that. And you, what you do is you you can either – so the thing is you can opt out. Based on those 13 things listed above and your termite inspection, or you can issue what we call the TRR. And if that's not negotiated within the 7 days or whatever's defined in the contract as time limit, then the contract is null and void and it gets released and the buyer gets their earnest money back.
Yeah. And I'm sure that the listeners out there are thinking in their minds, there's a lot more to this than just the price of a home.
There's
a lot of going, what's the price? What's the price? What's the price?
Well, price is paramount mainly because we all have our price limitations, right?
Right.
So that is what we need to You define your price, but also you define the amount of earnest money, when the closing date is, what you're going to inspect, the time limits. There's so much more to negotiate in an offer and a contract. So get with a good real estate professional and do that.
Yeah.
And
this is where keeping to the contract is critical. Like, it's not about what I feel about it. It's about we are being guided by a contract.
Yeah.
And you got to know what's in there.
And Ann, I know that you called and you're hanging on. And if you would like to call me directly, give your information to Mike Gannon. You had a question about Megan's Law.
And we'll answer your Megan's Law question there. Thanks for being with us at Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We'll see you next week on News Radio KTOK 1000.